sono ingrata.
Ungrateful heart.
Tutto è passato, non c'è più.
Hi, welcome back. Do you remember us?
Hi, it's us.
What's up? How have you been? How was like your holiday? Happy New Year. Happy almost Valentine's Day.
Ooh. Happy almost. Is there any other holidays coming up?
Oh my God. Happy almost Charlotte's birthday.
Yeah, facts. My birthday is on. It's the opposite of my personality in every way to like list my birthday on a podcast. But it is coming up. I'm aging. I really love that for me. My retinol game is popping. We have no worries. We are thriving. Mm-hmm. I'm turning into an old crone and I'm so excited for that journey. So yeah, we've decided that this is now season two of the podcast because we took such a long pause that it makes it look intentional. So now welcome to season two of Thrilled to Announce.
This is the season premiere. The episode before this was the season finale. Sorry we forgot to mention that, but you know, it was part of our whole big plan.
Right. We've been planning this forever. So here we are. Perry, I wanted you to, what's the thingy you wanted to share?
Okay, I have a thingy to share. So this episode is about friendship. I don't know what exactly we're going to title it, but Charlotte had been doing this really cool research months ago about friendship, and she thought it would be a cool, like, episode to do, and I agreed, and I also felt like it went along with this little project that I was working on that we wanted to launch, which is, drum roll please, Charlotte and Post. A Thrilled to Announce Discord server. So should I explain what a Discord server is?
I mean, I think that I should say what I think it is from not knowing what it is.
Yes.
And then you should like add on the like holes in my like explanation. So yes. as a simple lay person, my understanding of a Discord is like that's where like hot girls like play video games and like I don't know, like cuck guys. Like, I don't really know. I didn't really know anything beyond that, to be honest. But apparently it's where people like have actual conversations about stuff. And like sometimes I guess it's for video games, but then it's also like, I don't know, like for like podcasts that get groups of people together. Like that's the ones that Perry is on. And yeah. Perry introduced this idea to me, like create a Discord channel where we can all chit chat. And within that channel, there's all these different topics and all these like kind of like subcategories where we start little conversations, and it's been really cute and fun.
So we had a soft launch about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago. Those who know, know. So we have a bunch of people in there chit-chatting already, and I kind of felt like it was a good idea for this project that Charlotte and I are doing because we talk so much about wanting a community, dreaming of like a more solid foundation within the opera world, and feeling like it's so hard to achieve that it's so easy to feel like an individual. And as we'll talk in the episode, like I've made incredible connections as an individual with other individuals, but I know that there are groups of people out there who feel the same way we do, singers who want to create some real material change in the opera world, who want to believe that it is possible and you don't just have to kind of sit quietly and think about how things are bad, but then you can't really do anything because what are you going to do as an individual? So I was trying to think of a way that we could start to come together in a more effective and communal way than just like the podcast or Instagram. So yeah.
We have a Discord app. I mean,
we have a Discord.
I downloaded a new app on my phone. That's a big deal. That's a big barrier of entry for me.
So we have a bunch of different channels within the server.
So, and we're adding them all the time. For now, so far, we have, you know, like Yap Zone, which is what you think it is, Music Rex for opera. Then we have Music Rex for not opera, which is poppin' as huge. We have a little channel on mysticism. We have Twilight Zone, where we are talking about Twilight. That is essential content. It is dense. I would say it's dense.
Yes, I agree. Very dense.
We have thoughts and theories and dreams. Lots going on.
Yeah, it's been really fun. It's been so fun to chat with everybody and get to know everyone better and to feel like we have multiple strings of connection. Like, we're all related. We're in music in some way. We're all, I would say, progressive in some way. We, I don't know, we want things to change. It's nice to have, like, this level of safety. It's, like, mm-hmm. a private place to talk. We kind of know that most of us are on the same page. It's private. Yeah, so if you're interested, I think the link will be public by the time we release this episode, or it will be public along with the release of this episode. So the link will be in our bio, maybe, like, in our link tree. Yeah.
And I wanted to add one thing about that. I think it's really imperative that we see each other as more than just singers, which I think we ultimately try to do a lot. But I think mm-hmm. part of the, like, atomization of us just seeing each other in these settings, like in these audition hallways in Shetler Studios, RIP, RIP in peace, is that we see each other primarily as singers first, and that's totally fine. But I think the humanizing of one another through this Discord of seeing, like, the other things we're interested in, finding out who else, like, loves to talk about, like, tarot cards, finding out who else, like, really loves to talk about, like, Gillian Welch, which is, like, one of my favorite singer-songwriters. Like, mm-hmm. that connection is something we lose when we, like, don't get to really communicate outside of these, like, settings. And it's really exciting. I feel like we're building so many beautiful friendships. It makes me really happy.
Yeah, and it makes me feel excited for, like, future organizing and activism. Mm-hmm. Like, once we have this home base where we're all pretty comfortable with each other, where we see each other as humans, I don't know. I feel like cool things could come out of it, and I'm very excited about that.
Absolutely.
So please check it out and join us.
Yeah.
Join our Twilight convos.
Yeah, join our Twilight convos. We want to write a Twilight opera, if anyone has any advice mm-hmm. on that. If you want to be that person. I think it's a really lucrative idea.
Okay, tell me if anyone thinks this idea is good for a Twilight opera. So Edward can hear everything, right? Everyone's thoughts.
Right.
So he can hear, like, all,
like the recits, the asides. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All arias, yeah. Except he can't hear Bella's. And so I think that there should be times where, like, there's accompaniment, like, of an aria happening, and Edward's, like, trying to hear the music, and he, like, can't hear it, and it's really confusing.
Dude, that's so
sick. That's my idea.
That's so sick. I want this for us, and I, like, know it's gonna happen. Like, I just, like, know.
Yeah, so all of that and more.
All of that and more.
Discord server.
And I just want to, like, affirm what you're saying, that, like, true organization and activism that doesn't lead to burnout only happens when mm-hmm. like, we are not working off the basis of, like, oh, we all do the same thing and therefore, like, can organize and should organize. Like, it cannot be that clinical. It just cannot. Like, we have to all give a shit about each other in, like, a real way. And it's not to say that on some intellectualized level, like, we do and we want to, but forming these connections, like, for real, like, these real connections with one another through consistent conversation is the way forward. I, like, firmly believe that. So I'm really happy
Absolutely.
That we are doing this in an authentic, #authentic way, you know?
Oh, and most importantly, I forgot to mention this part. So we want to do the book club on it. And we're going to fucking do this book club. We're going to read this book together. I swear to God. So if you're interested in that alone, come check it out, because once we, like, get this up and running. So we're reading Mad Scenes and Exit Arias, for those of you who aren't tuned in. So we want to have, like, one of the reasons I chose Discord is because it's pretty easy to do, like, voice chats.
Which I, like, love. Slack. It's so cute. It's like a conference call.
Exactly. And Slack, you can't really do that, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. And that's why, you know, people go on Discord while they, like, play video games, so they can, like, talk to
that's
each other.
That's so funny. I had no idea why, and now I know.
Okay, so we just want to say that up top, that's kind of, like, the thesis of this episode a little bit, like, and so we should all connect in some way and, like, be friends.
Do you want to say the Minecraft thing or no?
Oh, I totally forgot. Oh, yeah. Yes, I definitely want to. I was trying to think of other updates, other things that are happening in my life. And one of the main things that's happening in my life is Minecraft. My world is going really well. Thank you for asking. It's making me feel like I'm getting outside.
Yo, that's incredible.
And that reminded me that one of our friends, internet boyfriend on Instagram, his name is Dom, sent us a really cool thing called, I think it's called the Minecraft Library, the Uncensored Library. So it's a library within Minecraft that's full of censored journalism. like across the world, you know, pieces get silenced and people like put it all into one Minecraft server and it looks fucking insane. The library is crazy. I cannot conceive of how people built this in Minecraft. And he sent it to us because he was like, you know, we've talked about Minecraft, obviously, and we did our open access episode and like, this is a beautiful marriage of Minecraft and open access. And it looks incredible. I haven't actually logged on.
Can you like go there? Like, are you able to like visit it?
Yeah. So I think I will do that today and like see what the deal is. Cause I don't really understand how their like article, they're saying that their article is like within the library in Minecraft. And you can't really write a lot in books in Minecraft unless I'm wrong.
That's so
anyway,
interesting.
I just wanted to like, we'll put that up somewhere, but it seems really cool. And thank you to Dom for sending this to us. Fighting global censorship
through Minecraft. We love her. Yeah. In my little world, I'm trying to think of like what updates I have. I've been singing opera arias.
What?
Can you believe it? I've been like singing and I like love to sing.
What have you been singing?
I'm on that like Qui La Voce life. I'm on that like Lucia di Lammermoor life. And it feels actually like way more comfortable and way more embodied than I ever felt singing things that were like much lighter. And I think I just spent a lot of years like in a fear that I was like doing something harmful to my voice if I like tried something that was a little heavier. And I'm finally like, I'm actually an adult and like this feels good and I'm getting good feedback when I sing it. So I'm kind of like finally like feel really good in my voice because I feel like my voice is doing something it wants to do. So
it
that's
really
my
fed
little
that
journey.
Narrative, right? That like anything slightly too big is like literally going to rip our vocal cords out of our throats.
And it's interesting because like at the same time, then you like enter... there's such a huge like issue with people being cast in stuff that's too big for them, especially when they're younger. So like it is, it's just like a weird balance. It's, I mean, it just feels like there's so much fear-based energy. It's like, I can't sing No Word from Tom until I'm like 50. Like, what are we talking about? Like, I can't.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And
so.
Then they put it on. I did. Oh my God. I almost called it Rite of Spring.
We're opera singers.
Wait, what is that? Oh, Rake's Progress.
Yeah.
I did that in grad school.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like both things at the same time. It's like you can't sing anything because it's too big and it's going to destroy you. But also you just got cast in it. So just figure it out because now you have to perform.
Yes.
It's oh like, which is it? So here's our episode.
Charlotte, do you want to like talk a little bit about like how you stumbled upon some of this research and like what
friendship
research even is?
Okay, here's my little intro to this. I just want to like present this at the top and Perry's going to kind of present what it makes her think of and we're just going to chit chat about it. So in the last year, I think in order for me to find center, I've talked a lot with other people and like read a lot of materials about trying to practice the and that exists in all of these situations we're in. So there's a huge global crisis happening right now in so many ways, in so many different layers. And I still need to be able to sleep at night. And I still need to feed myself. That doesn't take away from anything on the other side of that and. Both things have to exist in tandem. There has to be that tension. I have to keep fighting for that tension. I cannot collapse into a paralyzation because I'm so upset with how things are. I have to be able to inhabit the in-between. That I want to talk about like why we did this for the episode today. The and that exists in this podcast is really important to both of us. The episodes that we've done that have been very serious are like entirely true and deserve center stage. And we have made incredible friends and we feel such deep love for opera and we have such deep love for each other. And we have been exploited and that is serious. And one thing does not take away from the other. It's not but. It's not like, oh yeah, I mean, you paid all that money for that program, but you made some good friends. It's not a but, it's and. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's kind of why we did this podcast because we want to be able to hold that tension. We want to be able to give both things what they deserve. And I think inhabiting that world is a microcosm that goes out into the rest of your lives in general. I think it's kind of the lesson of adulthood that I've been learning around boundaries, around my needs. So I think that's kind of like a part of growing up. And I think that's kind of why we designed this podcast to begin with, is the end of, we are so upset with how things are right now. That doesn't make us negative people. That doesn't make us negative in general, because, and I am full of excitement and joy, like when we start to talk about some of these things and talk about how much we love this community, like that exists at the exact same time. And that thrills me. I'm thrilled to announce that I'm so excited about the and that exists in this world. And I think my last and I think that it is very easy to weaponize using the word but. When people use the word but, to me, it's like gaslighting. To me, it's like sort of a negation of how there's more than one thing that can be true at once. And I am thrilled to announce that I feel like more of an adult every day that I say no to people trying to say but to me. Like, you know, yeah, like you guys are exploited, but it's just the way it is. No, mm-hmm. No, we're exploited and that's not okay. And I'm also, you know, finding a way to sleep 8 hours at night and love the people around me. And I don't know how else I could live through a time like this and be of use, right? Be of use. This isn't just about me like getting sleep so that I can like be well rested. How could I step up and be of use to the world as a whole if I can't take care of myself? And I'm thrilled to announce that that's what led us to our friendship discussion, which is because that last episode was mad intense and it's true. And we want to talk about how much we're just fucking in love with the people that we've met in this world and in love with this art form. Opera's fucking crazy. Like, that shit's fucking crazy.
And I think
and
one of the biggest ands of my life right now is Charlotte and I met at one of my least favorite yeah. things ever. And that meeting led to this. And now we're here. You know, we spend a lot of time. We've both spent a lot of time trying to diagnose what's going on in this world. It's been very empowering to be able to like put names to feelings that I've had and like explore a lot of this theory that has articulated things so well. And I've only been able to do that because I've experienced it. I understand this stuff well because some of it has happened to me. That's not a good thing, but you know, it's the understanding has been very empowering. So Charlotte kind of brought that to me. I definitely have said but in these episodes. I think at the beginning of the app episode, I made a caveat saying that I was in a really bad place. You know, this shit sucked, but I was in a really bad place at the time that I went to this pay to sing. And I feel like listening back, I should have said and, that both these things were totally true. I was in a bad place and it was a weird program. Anyway, so Charlotte was kind of explaining this to me, and I was like, oh my God, it's funny that it's called this because we don't want to keep using this word, but it's negative dialectics. I don't want to call it regular dialectics, but Hegelian dialectics was made by Hegel. I mean, it's been around
forever. We love her.
Basically, dialectics is like a way of having a conversation that leads to new ideas. You know, like Plato was doing it, Socrates was doing it. But Hegel, I think he made this famous, I was reading some stuff the other day about how Hegel never actually used this language, but like it was him. It's called Hegelian mm-hmm. dialectics. Mm-hmm. So dialectics is kind of a three-pronged process. You come up with a thesis, which is like your idea, then the antithesis of that idea, which is the opposite or something that really contradicts what your thesis is. And in Hegel's view, these two things bound together and made a new thing called synthesis. So you go through this process over and over. And Hegel, who had a kind of teleological view of the world, he believed that societies in general, like all sorts of different societies, were all working towards this absolute ideal, where we would eventually, you know, go through enough syntheses and reach kind of like the pinnacle, that we were all hurtling towards something like bigger and greater. So this process is a way for us to get there. that we're constantly improving and expanding, which is interesting. I don't know if I agree with him, but it's interesting. There's a really interesting picture. So it's, I think of it as like a pyramid, but I saw a really cool picture that was like concentric circles, and the outermost circle was the absolute ideal, and all the inner circles were like all of these syntheses building on top of each other. So it's basically how he thought like philosophical dialogue and just like political theory in general would kind of move forward to something that would culminate in like the best possible society. Marx believed that this would happen and that the end point would be communism. Hasn't happened yet.
We're still spinning on the concentric circles.
Yeah, right. I think it's a very natural way to form arguments. And I read this great piece in The Guardian. The Guardian has some great philosophy in it.
Whoa.
And they're really good at breaking it down in layman's terms, because I was really struggling with that. I, you know, studied this in college. I have not read any fucking Hegel since college. He's really hard to read. But there's a great quote from this article where he says, Hegel is arguing that existence as a whole constitutes a unity of all opposites, in which everything has its place, and that the tension between these opposites gradually resolves itself into a pre-existing whole. Which is, it's interesting. It's very satisfying in a way that I'm not sure that the world is. So I don't want to speak incorrectly. And I also don't want to claim that I'm like explaining this like exactly precisely, because.
Don't claim that. How dare you claim that?
It's really complicated. And I am mostly interested in how it connects to what Charlotte and I were talking about. And I don't want to use the word bastardization, because that's like a weird word, but I do feel like that's kind of what I'm doing to make this fit, just so everybody knows. Don't be like, well,
the
Perry
philosophy
said.
Police aren't going to. Yeah. Like, imagine somebody understanding this well enough to like say that you're doing something wrong right now. Like,
I'm worried about that. I do get worried about that.
I know. I worry about that when I say anything about anything. Like, I feel.
So, I don't know if you guys remember, but during our Q&A episode, I mentioned this guy named Theodore Adorno as one of my favorite philosophers. And one of the reasons he's one of my favorite philosophers is because he expanded on this idea in a very interesting way. He was troubled by the insistence on the creation of something within this dialectical system, like the idea that these two things would come together, clash together, deplete something, like each side would kind of lose something, and then there'd be an additional outcome, was weird to him. He was like, why are these things that are canceling each other out making a new thing, right? He said that that doesn't happen, that we don't always create something bright and shiny and new and cohesive out of these two contradictory ideas. And he was bothered by the teleology of it all, that everything has a point, that we're all hurling towards something amazing, and that all of these actions that we're taking are part of this journey. I mean, I don't think Hegel would say that, but that's sort of what it feels like, right? So he felt like the thesis and the antithesis don't just like dissolve. They don't just like poof into thin air when the synthesis comes, this new shinier thing that's like leading towards something better. Another quote from that Guardian article that I thought was really good. So negative dialectics, which is Adorno's idea, turns Hegel's dialectics on its head and says that existence is incomplete, that it has a hole in it where the whole should be, and that existence is therefore ontologically incomplete. So basically, like, shit isn't that simple, Hegel. We're not, like, hurtling towards something. That kind of, like, takes the agency away in a way, like these things are just unfolding. It's a grand becoming. The absolute ideal is going to happen at some point.
It almost reminds me of like neoliberalism, just like constantly throwing the ideal at you that like we're gonna get there, and it kind of like puts you in the back seat of this like thing that's supposedly happening,
totally,
instead of acknowledging the consistent contradictions and like the shadow that exists around us, like the id, the like darkness that's also among the present, instead of just focusing on this ideal that's in our little baby minds.
Yeah and in
that's
fact
also a bastardization, but it's what it comes up with for
no,
me
definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like we aren't hurtling towards this grand becoming, but we're swimming in our present, which is full of unsavory, unsatisfying contradictions that don't that don't build up into any beautiful grand scheme. They just are.
It's yin.
Exactly. Oh my God. Actually, there were a couple diagrams that included yin yang in it.
Stop it. I feel like I'm talking to Adorno from the grave. Are you serious? Yeah. I've been obsessed with yin, like, recently, and just how, like, America in general doesn't, like, acknowledge, like, it's yin. Like, we can't talk about death. We can't talk about grief. We can't talk about, like, just that, like, all of this, like, the mossy, like, just the forest floor. Like, we can't go there, right?
And except, like, in our fucking dreams, would everything boil down to a thesis, antithesis, synthesis? You know what I mean? Everything actually rubs up against each other in very weird, prickly, like, sometimes sickening ways. Like, these two truths of our lives that we are almost constantly exploited in the opera industry, and that I've had a really good time performing, and I've made some great friends along the way.
Yes. If you can't live in that twilight between those two, I just worry about how you can keep up your energy. Like, it's the, I feel like it's the only way to, like, keep breathing and keep going.
Yeah, and Adorno felt like there was something in between the thesis and the antithesis that was kind of like the nugget of it all. There's they're not just rubbing up against each other, they're, like, rubbing against something that's in between them, and, like, that stuff that's in between them is also completely relevant and doesn't just poof away when you, like, come up with some, like, perfect solution to these contradictions.
Adorno, are we gonna kiss? Adorno, are we about to kiss, bro? Like, I love.
And yeah, so that's what we kind of want to do with this episode, about friendship, about like, the light in these scenarios, that things can be more than one thing. Two opposing truths don't necessarily coalesce into some delicious, satisfying conclusion. We are troubled by the realities of the opera world, and in some ways we're made better by it. Not by those troubles, but by, you know, by the opera world. I've forged incredible life-altering relationships in these shitty pay-to-sings. My friends have changed my life for the better. We have to live with these incompatibilities if we want to forge forward. We have to feel both extremes of emotion in order to build the world that we all deserve to live in. And that's basically negative dialectics. It's fun to apply this shit.
It is fun. And I will say, as somebody who's, like, obsessed with, like, body work and the body as a teacher, I will say, like, when we talk about these things, I it would be incredibly, like, I would be remiss. Is that the phrase? I would be remiss.
I think
remiss.
So. I never know if it's remissed.
Amiss?
I think you're right.
I don't know how to say like, stuff. Like, I don't know how to say, like, phrases that people say, like, idioms. It's just, like,
I have a really weird, like, mesh mush of idioms in my head because
me too.
I have, like, things like grandma said. I couldn't remember. Do you know the idiom that's like, you close the barn door, but the horses are already gone?
You already lost me. Like, I've never even heard that.
I was trying to say that to somebody, and someone was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, it's an idiom.
Dude, we should Google this. I've always thought, like, there's something, like, broken in me that I can't remember a single idiom. I get, like, stage fright.
I just say them. Half of them are, like, random. Like, I say, like, I'll be there with bells on a lot, and people are always like,
is that it?
What the fuck are you talking about?
I feel like your idioms are from, like, the 17th century, or they're, like, from It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart.
A lot of them are from my grandma.
Oh my god, I love that. That's so sweet.
This isn't really an idiom, but when I was in preschool, my preschool teacher offered me some crackers, and I said, oh no thank you, I'm not too keen on those.
Shut the fuck up, Harry. You're like already an old woman in preschool. I'm obsessed with you. That's so funny.
Okay, I'm Googling shut the barn door after the horse. Someone has shut,
like, animal idioms.
Someone has shut the stable door after the horse has bolted. That's like, it's,
oh, that
too
sounds
late.
Like a thing. Too that has little, like, a too rhythm. Late. Yeah. After the horse has bolted. I love that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of I love one. Idioms. They're Me too. So funny.
There's so many about, like, ships, like, the ship, like, left the, like, thing, you know?
I love it when ships do that.
It's, like, such, I don't know what happened to me. Why can't I? Oh, my fucking God. Oh, my God. I had, like, a point, and I'm so far beyond whatever my initial point was. Oh, I'd be remiss or amiss.
Oh, I think
it is amiss that I would be remiss. I don't know.
Let's see. I think you're right. Yeah, I think it is. I'd be remiss. Yes.
Oh my god, that's so hot.
You're a genius.
That was a big challenge to like yank that out of my brain. I know I'm a genius. So I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that when we discuss these things that resonate deeply as a truth, I feel them in my body. It's an embodied experience for me. Like, they sit in me and I'm like, yeah, that's fucking true. Mm-hmm. Like, these things feel so heady and they feel so disconnected and abstract. But I will say, like, hearing you explain that after me explaining that the way that I can live with and in my life is how I can like be hydrated and keep my skin glowing.
And you do.
And I do, right? So like these things remain abstract, but as I like age and I realize like it's a very bodily experience to hear these truths said. Mm-hmm. So like shout out to Adorno. We're gonna kiss.
Wait, hang on. That reminded me of something. I think I've told you this before, yeah. But I was describing like when we first started this, I was shocked at like how perfect it felt. And I was like, why did I know? Like, I didn't think about anybody else when I wanted to do this. I only wanted to do it with Charlotte. Why? I think I might have said this to you already, but I feel like you are really good at like a lot of the heady stuff. And I get really pessimistic and I get like too far down on the ground. And we like both like bring each other like in.
Yes. We like meet in the middle. Yeah. Dude, it's so nice.
It's cool. Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just
No, it's so true. And like, you're right. Like, I wouldn't have even been able to define that until we started.
Totally.
In a way, yeah. You know? Yeah, you're psychic. Anyway. So like the reason that friendship really stuck out to me recently, I think, is kind of marrying these two truths and sitting within this tension. Mm-hmm. That we as performers have a pretty unique experience with friendships, and there's a lot of beauty in that, and also just a lot of like energetic output and a lot of I don't know, goodbyes, right? And a lot of friendships fading and a lot of friendships that you know, are just what they are when they are, and that's okay. And also just a lot of really incredible friendships that I don't think I'd experience if I didn't work in like a performance-based world.
Yeah, and a lot of friendships with people who I never would have found otherwise, I never would have connected with otherwise, like so many different types of people who are singers, which I've always had a lot of fun with, and I've loved connecting with people who have experiences so far outside of mine, but are also
totally
singers.
Yes, it's such a funny thing. Like, you'd think most opera singers are like similar in certain ways, but like
really,
I don't know.
No.
I just really have not had that experience at all.
Like, honestly, the most similar I felt has been like in school environments, and I think that makes sense because like you're choosing a school, so like you're choosing a vibe, you're going there for
City.
Years. Yeah, yeah. But like when you go to programs, it's like, you know, people coming from all sorts of different fucking schools, huge schools, small schools, like all over the world.
Yes, that's actually a really good point. The emotional output and sort of the stretching of our intimacy to this ever expanding group of people, every time we're in a new cast, every time we're in a new environment, every time we're in a new program, is one of the biggest blessings of my life. I'm an Aquarius, so I care about like collective consciousness and like feeling like I'm part of a collective more than like anything. So it feeds me. And on some level, it's an incredible challenge because the level of intimacy that I've experienced with such a massive group of people is, I think, really a unique experience to people who like perform. I mean, I want to be careful with how I say it because I'm sure there's so many exceptions, but I guess people who collaborate to create something that requires a deep letting down of walls and requires a high activation of intimacy and a presence.
Or even not just like the number of people and times that we're doing that in a year. Like, if you think about it in like a quantifiable way, 1 year I was like, oh my God, I have made like 100 new Facebook friends a year for the past like 6 years.
Absolutely. And I want to be clear from the top too that I also don't mean this as this idealized thing, because I think of it as this really gritty like familial vibe where like it's also like I get highly annoyed and irritated with certain people.
Of course.
I mean, everyone's demons are at the forefront, baby. Like, we're like, it's not always cute, like, but I love it because even when it's not cute, there's still this like net of support. In most experiences I've had, there's still this net of support that can hold space for somebody who like might not be like in their best little moment. And usually everyone has a moment that's like not their best moment in those experiences, and I think that's what makes it so true and alive and memorable. And like, I it's really crazy, like, how temporal that is. Is that the word? Like, yeah. It's just so temporary, right? Yeah. And, like, is it temporal? I always say the wrong emphasis on syllables on this podcast, and I will not let that happen in 2021 because it makes me want to die.
The temporal lobe. Yeah, I guess it's temporal.
Temporal. Temporal? Anyway, yeah. So it's temporary.
It is confined to a certain point in time.
Okay, facts.
And also going along with the ands with that, I mean, we'll get more into this maybe a little bit later, but there are so many beautiful aspects to that type of living and those types of relationships. But I also feel like it contributes to the fact that I don't feel a very strong sense of community within the opera world. I do and I don't. I know all these people. You know, I went to grad school in 2019 with someone who I met at a high school summer music festival in 2009. Like 10 years apart, and we're doing the same thing. It was so amazing to see her again, and just so weird in a way. And yeah, that's really cool. However, and it's hard to kind of like forge these really strong bonds that would give us the strength to work against a lot of the exploitation in this industry. It's very easy when we're all dissipated and we're coming together and apart. And, you know, we see each other once every 10 years, once every two mm-hmm. years. We're in a festival or a program together. That's so cool. But also it restricts us from really opening up to each other and being able to trust each other in the way that's required to build something, you know?
Yes, absolutely. There's so much to be said about that in friendship theory. I'm so happy you just said that. The okay, alienation cool. of going place to place and the atomization of like what this job looks like and just like always being a part of a new group and a new cast mm-hmm. and a new level of intimacy requires, it can lead to a little bit of emotional burnout because it's just hard to place in your system, I think, where these intimacies live and how to hold that tension of experiencing this level of intimacy. And then, you know, having friends who have jobs at the same company for 10 years and it's not the same thing. And mm-hmm. it's really hard to talk about. And actually a lot of theory around attachment and a lot of theory around intimacy is about romantic relationships. There's not much writing about friendship. And I think that that's not only a huge disservice, but I think everybody can feel that is not how life works. Like the friendship breakups or the friendship fading or the friendship makings that I've had have been so highly like, I don't know, potent and sensual and have taught me more about myself than perhaps almost any romantic partnership I've ever experienced. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, it's just true. Like, shout out to Mark Story, like one of my all-time soulmates of all time, all time. He and I went to undergrad together and we were literally like married. Like, we spent every second of every day together and it was like, we were fucking rude in class. Like, we couldn't stop laughing. It was like literally like we were like fucked up. Anyway, so we're like still best friends and soulmates forever across space and time, and we FaceTime for like hours every week. But I remember so distinctly when I drove away from him in a parking lot when I said bye to go home after I graduated, and I knew I was never gonna like go to school with him again. Mm-hmm. And I cried for like 2 hours in the car. I literally, that was to know that I wasn't going to just have him right next to me to like be silly every day. It's really incredible that we don't talk about that more and we don't write about it because it's such a big part of our heart.
I feel more heartbroken about the friendships I've lost than the relationships I've lost.
I think witnessing is the most powerful tool for healing, and we're not really witnessed in our grief around friendship, and that's super fucking real. Yeah. Or celebrated. I don't think we celebrate to like the nth degree, like mm-hmm. how powerful our friendships are. The whole thing is just kind of like left off the table. And it's so wild to me. Just kind of to sum up this section about like singers as friends or like performing together as friends. In a lot of friendship theory, people define things as like acquaintances, close friends, best friends, whatever. Those feel very clinical to me. I don't love them. I found some new terms that I like better that we'll get into. But I just wanted to say I am so grateful for the people in my life who I guess under typical definitions would be referred to as an acquaintance. But for me, most of those people are actually like would be what I think the average person would refer to as like a close friend. Mm-hmm. Like, I think my acquaintances are my close friends because those are the people that I've like cried in like a thong in a dressing room being like, this costume is so fucking ugly. like, right? And they're the people who I'm just like bearing my deepest, deepest like self to being like, I can't stand the way that note sounds when I sing it. And everyone in the room being like, what are you talking about? It sounds great. What? And having like five people hug you at the same time. Mm-hmm. I don't know an acquaintance. I don't know a single acquaintance. And this episode is kind of an ode to that.
I love that. I think of a lot of these relationships I've called, I said this before, maybe even on the podcast, it feels like they're camp friends, which I feel like is my conceptualization of what Charlotte's talking about. We're like,
yeah.
Yes, I don't talk to these people every day. I wish I talked to them more. We had a super insane bond for like six weeks. And then that was it. And obviously I've maintained the vast majority of those friendships. I'm the type of person who like has one person. Like I'll find one person at a summer festival and like become very attached. And obviously those friendships are so important. But like before we started this podcast, Charlotte and I were camp friends. Like we have great memory, you know, of this horrible time where we had a great time together.
Talk about the tension and the living in between. I love what you just said. Wait, what did you just say?
Thankfully, it's recorded.
These incredible memories. I know it's literally recorded. These incredible memories of these horrible times that we had. Whatever it was, that was fucking beautiful. I loved that.
Thank you. And like Charlotte said, it's really temporal. It's assigned. It's given this very specific time frame, and then that's it. And I think that's so beautiful and unique. And I don't know a lot of people who have that in their adult lives. And I think that makes opera very exciting in a way, and also very lonely, because then you have these camp friends, and you don't have people who you see every day for your whole life who you see grow. And that's amazing in another way, too. I don't want to minimize that way of living either.
Right.
It's just different. And it's hard to explain to people sometimes, you know, who these people are. Like Charlotte said, like, yes, I guess she's an acquaintance, but like she's everything, too.
Yeah, dude. Yes. Yeah. And that's a really great point. It's like in no way to minimize like people who don't have this experience. It's just that this experience, I think, hasn't really been defined or like talked about in enough ways in my personal life. Same. I've not experienced enough discussion around it that I feel it can be really disorienting to not. I just want to open up the floor to this. I want to talk about it more because I think it's really important and I have so many feelings about it and I want to hear everyone else's feelings.
Yeah, like I have memories of like biking back like underneath the stars in Colorado, like biking back in the dark, and like that's a beautiful moment to me that I will never forget.
I haven't done that with anyone else. You know what I mean? Like I've been to Italy with people that I haven't talked to, you know, I probably talked to like twice a year or so, but like we would run and get lost in tiny, tiny, tiny towns in Italy that like I'll probably never go back to. And I was there with them. Yeah. And I love that. I wouldn't have wanted to be there with anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so weird. It's such a weird life.
It's such a weird life. The last thing I want to say about this that just popped into my head, I think witnessing the net of a close, close, close support system that has each other's back and like is together every day and sees each other in every possible like form. I know it's only 6 weeks, but like you experience a lot of emotional whatever, like a huge range of emotions, right? To me, it feels like often it's like the veil being lifted into like what a world could look like where you have a community of intention and you are with them consistently. And you are like each other's in some form priority and you have each other's backs because it's just what you do. And I think there's like some sort of like fucking like edging by the universe, if I may, of just like constantly getting the veil lifted for these periods and being like, oh my God, this is what it's like to love deeply, but not only deeply, but daily. Mm-hmm. And I think like to see that and then just like have it taken away, which is it's just life. But then you get another group of people and you do it again. It's like, I keep having the veil lifted to what this world could look like. And I think that it is a blessing that I would not give up for anything, but it comes with the tension of what it feels like to have it in my memory when it's over.
I think that's such a great point. Very well said.
Thanks. Oh my God, we haven't even started the section about friendship theory. So, like our episode... So coming off of all of that, I took a class. I took a class on friendship that
she's
came across
a student.
My feed. She's a student. She's always learning. She's always hashtag curious. So somebody who I value a lot in the world of like body work and like doula stuff and birth work, whatever, somebody like introduced me to this class happening about friendship and attachment. And there's a lot to be said. It was really incredible. Attachment theory is actually just basically about romantic relationships. Like, it has nothing to do with friendship, which is like so funny and annoying. Mm-hmm. But what she did do, this woman, she provided, which I'll like put her name up. I just can't remember it off the top of my head. But she provided this breakdown of groupings of friends that felt way less clinical to me, because I don't know. I just had this like crazy, like, I went down this rabbit hole like 2 months ago where I just Googled friendship theory for like 6 hours. And I was like sending Perry all these articles, and none of it was hitting that sweet spot. Mm-hmm. It was not hitting that sweet spot, because it was all like friends, good friends, close friends. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm sorry. What the fuck are you talking about? And then I took this friendship class and I was like, damn, this like woman is like this mystic like energy. And she just like understood and like just brought together like words that are just so much more vibrational to me than that. And I just wanted to share that because I thought it was really cool. So I'm holding up my little notepad because I'm a little student. So the top section is the inner sanctum. So like the inner sanctuary, like these are the people, and this is how she describes it. The people who are there for you and you are willing to show them the dark night of your soul. They're your secure base. You can be in any state, going through anything, having any thoughts, having any identity crisis, and immediately are able to be open to them in that. So that's your inner sanctum. I love that. There's not a room for a lot of people in there. That is not a value system. That is just simply circumstantial, and it's just life. Like, mm-hmm. there's just a certain amount of people that are in that group, and that's just because that's life. The next group is just close friends, but I like that she includes friendships that have kind of maybe faded or just aren't as present in that group. She refers to them as people that you have deep intimacy with, but ultimately like maybe just don't share the full depth of your emotional experience with. Once again, not really as like a value system or like a value judgment of them as a person. I think a lot of it is circumstantial, and I really like that. So, and you know, the movement between those is really valuable, because there's people that have been in my inner sanctum for big, big life events, but life has like brought us on these journeys in which like we are no longer in each other's inner sanctum, and now we're really close friends. And that's I think just like the adaptability and like the evolution and the growing of life, mm-hmm. as it happens, right? And then this is my favorite part. This is why I wanted to include this. She called the group that I think a lot of people would say acquaintances, which is like, I feel like you have an acquaintance at like JP Morgan. I don't know. Is that bitchy? Like, I don't know. It's just like, I don't cry like half naked to like my coworker JP Morgan like I would in a dressing room, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just, and maybe, listen, if that's how things go at JP Morgan, like have your people talk to my people, because that sounds lit. But like, it's my understanding that that's not the case. So acquaintances, I think, are just way more relevant to a lot of other fields. She refers to them as weavers, and she says they weave into the fabric of our lives. They bring you deep joy and pleasure, and they might not also fit into your deep experience of life long term, but they have to do with your deep joy and pleasure, and they weave into the fabric of my life. And there are so many people that weave so deep into the fabric of my life. They're so important to my experience of being alive. And I would say I have a lot more close friends than like weavers, but I have a lot of people that are weavers.
Also, Charlotte just has a lot. I think she has a lot of people. Charlotte has like so many friends, you guys. Like, I'm not kidding. She was telling me about this.
I think I'm like,
she was telling me about this paradox about how most people's friends, okay, it's called the friendship paradox. Let me see if I can remember it. Most people's,
it's so fucking weird,
friends have more friends than the original person does. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense to me, but that's the truth.
But it's like, there's like a math formula. It's so,
it's
fucking
weird. So every single one of your friends has more friends than you. That's the thesis of this episode.
Yeah. And it's like proven. And I'm like, what are we talking
about?
But
I was saying, I don't know if any of you guys were on Tumblr in the early 2010s, but there was this copypasta on Tumblr that was something like, you know how there's that statistic, like everyone eats 8 spiders a year or something? And then they'd be like, actually, that's incorrect. There's an outlier named Spiders George who eats 10,000 spiders a night and he should not be counted. And I was like, Charlotte is the Spiders George of friendship theory because she literally has 10 million friends. She was like, okay, I narrowed it down to my top 80. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I don't know 80 people.
I'm like, I literally like am an unwell Aquarius. Like, I just love everybody so much.
And you're it's good at connecting to people. You're good at like staying in contact and texting people. And it's a real skill. And it is reflected in your outcome, which is that you have 80 friends.
Oh my God, I forgot I like went through my iMessage with you. It's wild. I really do like love being in contact with people. It's kind of like, I would prefer that to a job. Like, I would just want to, like, talk to the people I love.
Professional friend.
Day. Yeah, I want to be a professional friend. That's, like, all I want. I want to retire and just be a friend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There are a couple people in my life who I, you know, they're an acquaintance at best, but their impact on me has been so much greater than that of the word acquaintance. It feels like an insult to our relationship to call it an acquaintance. And so when Charlotte said the word weaver, that really spoke to me. And also, I feel like we were talking about this the other day. There are so many people in my life who are just like weavers by circumstance. Like in another world, in another life, we would be so close. They'd be in my inner sanctum. But just because of the way things shook out, it didn't happen.
Right.
But there's like this 100%. Thing that you feel where you feel very drawn to someone. Maybe they don't feel drawn to you in quite the same way, but that's not really relevant. Like you feel this connection. And it feels like an insult to say, oh, yeah, that's my acquaintance who I don't really talk to. But like their presence has affected my life. You know, I always look at their Instagram stories. Like they're very important to me.
Totally. Totally. Oh my God. That's so real. That's so fucking real. And, you know, a lot of the articles I was reading, I don't know how I ended up, but there was like 8 different articles that were like, you can have too many friends and like having too many friends, like blah, 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 blah. And I was reading them because I was just like, what do people think of this? So I was just Googling friendship theory and half the articles are just about how many friends the average person has. And I often feel like I'm like an Aquarius alien that just was like transported to Earth. And I'm like, what, like how many friends do people, how am I supposed to have? Like, I don't know what everyone's fucking doing. I'm just doing me, right? Mm-hmm. And like a lot of it discussed, so it was a lot of anthropologists just to like kind of base this in what the fuck we're talking about. It was a lot of anthropologists and sociologists who have studied societies and studied relationships and like kind of figured out some patterns and done research and like done their jobs, I guess, whatever. And so like one big thing that was discussed, which I think is just really valuable to like being a grown-up, is emotional burnout of too many friendships. Because the role you play as a friend is very significant and it's a significant output. And so like, you have to choose like who to say yes to by saying no to others, right? Or just like letting things fade that can be the saying no. But I found that really beautiful because like boundaries are, we're often taught like saying no is saying yes to us. So I think it's really cool to also be like, you know, letting something fade is like saying yes to the inner sanctum that you do want to pour into, right? And like realizing that it's okay and that like friendships sometimes are only meant for when they're meant for. I think that that's a really beautiful like lesson. Like
and
in that.
So true in opera, especially. I feel like you just make these connections, and they also at some points feel really random. Like, what if the person just happened not to go, or like you happened not to do this one thing? That sort of thing seems to happen a lot in opera,
like in scenes, like you know, like scene programs. Yeah. All of a sudden, you're like, oh my God, I had her in my like Falstaff scene, and like I love her.
Like so random. Like who made that choice?
Yeah, dude.
Like you know, these weavers versus inner sanctum is like happenstance and connection. And
yes,
it happens to us so often as singers. You just have to kind of like accept it and roll with it. But it can be painful to feel like you're losing touch, or when you meet up again, it's not the same. You guys are different people and you don't have that same connection, that like fire that you had 3 years ago in the middle of nowhere in America.
Totally. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And they think like that by the way, there's someone practicing like a brass instrument next to me. I don't know if you can hear it.
I think
like,
once you said it, I could hear it a tiny bit, but I think it's probably fine.
Whatever. We're all musicians. Like we'll embrace it. I think part of me kind of having this like crisis of like understanding friendship was also like leaning into things being temporary. Mm-hmm. The mystery in it, the surrender in it, the grief in it. Like, I think I don't want to lean into the fact that things are temporary. And like, it's a bigger meditation, mm-hmm. to just be like, things are temporary, life is temporary, to honor what a friendship was supposed to be, that it was supposed to be temporary, and that doesn't make it any less valuable. Has also just like, I don't know, like comforted my like ideas of like the yin in life in general, yeah. You know?
And my and to that, going also back to like the weavers and acquaintances thing, I feel like weavers is a very like anti-capitalist way of thinking about it, because
yes!
I think an acquaintance allows for a certain distance. And I think capitalism basically wants us to be individuals with
atomized.
Atomized. No real deep bond. You should be able to leave for your job at the drop of a hat. Like, your priority is your job, then your romantic and familial ties, and then, you know, mm-hmm. whatever friends happen to be around. But I think deep, stable, platonic connections are antithetical to capitalism. And so building that and like indulging in it is a way to combat these forces that want to drive us apart, that want to keep us in competition, that want to just maintain the divide.
Absolutely.
By countering that, we are saying no to this like totally isolated existence where it doesn't really matter where we are. It doesn't really matter like who we're talking to. It does matter. All this stuff matters a lot. And I want to like try to, in addition to accepting the temporality of these relationships, cultivate them in a way that allows us to engage with each other in a more proactive and like activist oriented way, maybe. Mm-hmm. Just allows us to like mm-hmm. get some shit done that I think that we can really get done as singers.
Yeah, and we're meant to get done together. Yeah. We're meant to work together.
Yeah, there's power in numbers, and capitalism wants us to forget that, I think.
Absolute. And it reminds me, like, I was just thinking about the weaving and how many, like, for example, like Sopranos are like heavily weaved into my mm-hmm. world, and are honestly close friends too, like, but just let's just say like they're also weaved into the fabric of my life, right? And it reminds me that I've always felt a deep and authentic, like truly like lucid, authentic, deep joy when they've gotten a job that I also auditioned for. I understand that that's a part of like the ego for a lot of people, and I recognize my own ego in other ways, but that's not something I've really struggled with. Like, when like a close friend gets a job that I wanted, mm-hmm. I feel in me this like fire of like, holy shit, like you're gonna fucking be on stage as a soprano singing, like I'm so hype. And it reminds me, like, I don't know where this came from, but I've heard it so many different times that like the way that I recognize, like the way that I show my love to other people often is I say like, I am because you are, mm-hmm. like, I am because you are, like, I am, you are part of who I am. Like, we're not separate. We are one. Yeah. And that's how deeply I love you. And that really reminds me of that with like the weaving.
Definitely.
Like I am because you are. Like, I'm so excited because you're excited and you're a part of me. Like, I don't feel separated from you. You're not an acquaintance. Come on.
I personally, you know? Definitely struggle. I struggle to feel happy for people. I love a lot of my
That's
closest
legit.
Friends are mezzos, but I've struggled with a lot of jealousy.
That's fucking normal. I experience jealousy in a lot of other ways that, like, I mean, that pops up. Let me be clear. Like, I have, like, my own shit. Just for some reason, that one specific thing hasn't been, like, a barrier for me. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, weaving. We love to weave. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Wait, like, guys. Okay. Oh! Okay, this is so delicious. I, in the friendship class, the other thing that was said that just brought inside of my body like a deep expansiveness was the idea that in so many ways in this world and in this culture, we like celebrate monogamy and we like prioritize monogamy. But something that we have this huge blind spot for is that we're polyamorous with our friendships. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so true. Like, my love is not finite. I deeply am like in love with all of my friends. And I think that I've always been like, fuck, like I'm like not someone who wants to experience polyamory and like a romantic attachment. And I'm always like, shit, like, is my mom, like, I can I just like not get there? Am I just like not evolved enough to like do that or whatever? And hearing her say
I think
that
definitely not.
Felt really like, yeah, I guess like I'm sure I'm like fine. Yeah. Like what I want to do is also valid, yeah. But it's just like fucking cool to hear her be like, you are polyamorous with your friendships. Like you are in love with a lot of people. And like, I just like that that possibility and that like capability was like shown to me. I thought that was really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
I agree. And it's nice to feel like different people can serve different needs. Again, I am like Charlotte. I am not interested in polyamory. And I don't think that it's any sort of like failing in any way. I reject that notion. However, I think it is very interesting that we're able to really love. It sometimes feels like you're able to love endlessly with your friends. Obviously, you've read these studies that there are limits, but I feel those limits very naturally. Like things come to conclusions and other things begin. I'm not like processing.
Yeah, I'm like obsessed with you for that. Like you're like so good at that. I love you for that.
But I think it is very beautiful to be reminded that we can love our friends and love other friends just as much and also totally differently.
Yes.
I feel pretty good. I feel like the only thing I really wanted to say in my end that I felt like was important to say was just that, you know, capitalism wants us to not have friends, to not prioritize our friendships, and I said that.
I actually agree with you. Like I don't feel like
I feel pretty good.
So I want to close today. I feel like I'm literally like giving a sermon at church. It's so funny. Okay. So there's a quote that I heard in that friendship class that actually speaks. I'm gonna get emotional. I'm gonna cry in the club. Okay. So basically, I found this quote to be like just like extremely true to me. Like I want to get this tattooed on my forehead. She said, "Love feels like someone paying really good attention to you." And I love that. And I love to do that with my friends and for my friends. And it really speaks to like how I view the value of friendship.
I really love that. And so I feel like there are these two main sets of contradictions that we were talking about. The one being we were exploited and continue to be exploited in the opera industry and we've made really good friends. And then the second one is friendship is sometimes temporal and doesn't need to last forever and there are beautiful things that come and go, and also that it's important to create a solid community that grows with each other and has longevity so it can have trust so we can start to build something better. And within that contradiction, I really feel like this little podcast project Charlotte and I have begun has connected us to so many cool people, and we have had so many incredible conversations, and it has been such a joy to do, honestly, for that reason. I knew that when I was sitting alone or having one-on-one conversations with people about this shit, that we were not the only ones thinking this stuff, that there is a problem. There's a problem in this industry. It needs to be solved. And it is so incredibly reassuring to hear that reflected back to us as we've like recorded into the void.
Yeah, the DMs,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I really loved it. The conversations we've had together and, you know, whatever. It's been awesome. And I and Charlotte are very interested in cultivating that further, you know, just for the sake of these relationships, and also because I feel very strongly that we should begin to think about organizing and figuring out next steps. I'm interested in diagnosing all these problems, and I think we need to continue to do that. But I also think we need to start dreaming of solutions and enacting those solutions, and that I kind of feel like we're on the precipice of really beginning something, and that is extremely exciting. And so that's why we wanted to start this Discord server, because we can all connect and connect not just about opera, but about like literally anything we want to. And it feels like something that can be a very strong, exciting foundation. And I really want to grow it and water it with you guys, and keep feeding it and see where it leads us, because I think it could lead us somewhere really, really cool. And I thought that it would be a good way to like tie in friendship to all of this too. I think that the only way that we can organize and activate our base is if we have a super solid foundation, and I think that this server could be the beginnings of that. bringing everyone together, no matter where we are, no matter where we are in our journeys too, as well as geographically. So yeah, that's kind of how I wanted to like tie it up and invite you again to join us, and we can figure out, you know, we have some ideas about where we want this to go, but also I just want it to be the beginning of a dialogue that doesn't need to have any like point, any sort of like destination, because I think we're going to figure out that destination as we all talk together. But
I totally agree.
I just want to talk.
Yeah. We want to talk. And like, I'm a big believer in like the microcosm that you create mirrors larger, mm-hmm. like next larger things that happen. Right. So like mm-hmm. the world that we create in our like community will continue to grow, and like the fractals of that will continue to grow into larger events.
I love
so
that.
Like, I like the intentionality of this Discord, mm-hmm. the intentionality of this Discord is an action. I want me and Perry at least to really pour into this, and I would love for all of you to join us.
Yeah, definitely. We just wanted to make this episode to celebrate some of like the joyful things within this industry that we've had, and celebrate these contradictions that, you know, cannot be synthesized.
Yes.
We have no interest in synthesizing them. We just want to like mm-hmm. live with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hit us up in that Discord.
Or in you.
We have so
DMs.
Many weird channels, but like we want more weird channels. Yes. Come join the party. I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Perry.
And we're thrilled to announce.
Bye.
Corey.
Ingrato.
Dai figlio. What's that mean? Cor ingrato.
Ungrateful heart.
Tutto è passato. Non c'è più.